shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
And a very pleasant good morning. It's now Tuesday morning, and if you haven't heard, it was Pacific Daylight, not Pacific Daylight, it was just Daylight Savings. Out here is Pacific Daylight. And so it is, you know, it's 5 minutes after the top of the hour. It would be midnight here, and 5 minutes after the hour on the East Coast, 3 a.m. But here we are, Daylight Savings, which is always a harbinger of good tidings, good fortune, because it means the summer months are upon us. It means the daylight lasts longer. It's a beautiful thing, you know?
Yeah, but...
But what?
Well, then that means it's going to end, too.
Yes, that means it's going to end. I got to tell you something, though. This was one of the most uneventful winters I think we've ever had, at least out here. I know that there was bad weather in many, many parts of the country, but... And of course, this goes without saying. I understand. And I'm right there with you. When those of you elsewhere in the country say, geez, you people in California with your rain, you think it's just terrible. I totally agree, man. I mean, we are absolutely mentally unsound when it comes to rain. It's the biggest bunch of candy asses out here. Although, you know, earthquakes, you know, make up for that.
Well, earthquakes make up for that how? That we're all butched up about earthquakes?
Yeah, you know.
Well, okay. Do you think you're butched up?
No, Margaret, I don't think that I'm that butched up, but I'm just saying, you know, we're all here and we're all well aware of the hazards of living out here. But nonetheless, the weather this winter, even though winters can be in their own way nasty out here, especially with all the rain, and we've had floods and you know, God knows we've had the moments of inclemency here that have taken lives, but... this has been, I would say, a fairly uneventful winter. Having said that, you know, I live out at the El Pacifico, where life is a beautiful thing, you know.
Well, that's just it. You're living on the coast, and the worst thing that happens to you is a sea lion, excuse me for saying, craps on your driveway.
How's a sea lion going to crap on a driveway?
Yeah, that's a good trick. How's that happen?
Oh, are you serious? Sea lions get up the street all the time.
Sea lions don't... What do you mean they get up the street?
Didn't you tell me that those baby sea lions...
Baby sea lions have been known to get across the highway occasionally, yeah, and they leave their mama, but big sea lions are not going to come up the street, are not going to come up the street just to take a dump on my driveway.
Well, you hope not.
Yeah, if they got it in for you.
What if they got something personal? That's right. The sea lions have got something personal against me.
You keep laughing, funny man.
Well, let me tell you something. The day that a sea lion takes a crap on my driveway, Margaret, you'll be the first person that I call to come on out with a photographer, and you can do a whole column on it.
Don't think that I won't.
Okay. Well, I mean, I suppose it would be news. Anyway, welcome to our final hour, thank God, here of the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Lots of stuff to be talking about here. We're going to have Don Berman on the line with us here. In just a second, because we're discussing Elizabeth Hasselbeck. Not that it's big news, you know, for me, but there's some people that are following very carefully the events of The View, where Joy Behar has split. Elizabeth Hasselbeck is staying put on The View. But first, we would like to remind you that the Phil Hendry website, philhendryshow.com, is the intergalactic digital home of our radio show. Anything you need to know, all the things you need to know, you can find out there at philhendryshow.com. Lots of things that are going to be happening. Our one-man show is going to be a revolutionary event, I think. We'll be going out. We'll be taking the Phil Hendry brand, as they like to say, out on the road doing live performances. To that end, please be paying attention, a little extra special close attention to our website. We are going to be posting clips, and we'd like to invite those of you out there who are animators, or perhaps you fancy yourself an animator. We'd like to see what you can do in animating some of the audio from our show. So we will post those on our website, philhendryshow.com. Be forewarned that
what, some of it's graphic?
No, it's not graph. I used the wrong word. Be aware that that'll be graphic.
Yeah, there's graphic nudity.
There's no graphic nudity in an audio clip.
Well.
If they animate it that way.
Yeah, that's right, Margaret. In fact, you're in one of those clips. Maybe they ought to animate you graphically nude.
Oh, man, chop!
Well, you know something? If they value their testicle,
What? Don't whisper it, Margaret. Say it.
I won't say it. I'm a lady.
She said if they valued her testicles.
You dirty...
Ow! Ow!
You shouldn't be opening your mouth, bud. Shouldn't be opening your mouth. Anyway, go to our website. Check that out at philhenryshow.com. That's philhenryshow.com. Don Berman joining us from Channel 19 News. Actually, Don, I guess you've done the last newscast of the night. What is your last newscast of the night?
We have one more, the 12:30. We do a fill, generally we do a 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, a 10:30, an 11:30, and a 12:30. The Up With People segment with Donna Dedone, or something. I forgot her name. We've had three or four different women who have been the hosts of that.
I thought it was Donna DeVerona.
No, it's not Donna DeVerona. There's not a chance on God's good green earth that Donna DeVerona is going to work for us. Although I think she should, but... Pardon me, I have to pick up my phone, Phil. I dropped it, and I'm driving. And I actually reached down and picked up my phone and took my eyes off the road for probably a good 10 seconds, and nothing happened. That's the kind of blessed life that I have. But I, Donna Dublin or something, I forget her name. She does the Up With People segment. Of course, we have the Emmy Award-winning traffic and weather with Goldie Showers, or Golden Showers, as he wants to be called now.
Doesn't that get into any... Doesn't anybody get upset with that?
Well, I can tell you that L. Martin, who is our general manager, and a man that I've described as L. Ron Martin, and yes, I was drunk on your program the other day, and I do apologize for that, and that will be a part of our 5, 6, and 7 report on Tuesday night, the effects of alcohol.
The effects of alcohol, huh?
Let me ask you a question. Did you get me on this program to start breaking my you-know-what?
No. Why do you say that?
The effects of alcohol, huh? I was on your program. Hold on. God almighty, that felt good. I was on your program the other night, and I was alcoholically impaired.
Well, alcoholic is a good word.
No, that's not a good word, Ms. Gray. Alcoholically impaired. And I think your audience knows that.
Yeah, you were drunk.
All right, I was drunk.
And you called your general manager there, Mr. L. Martin, L. Ron Martin, because you said there's a mind control thing going on. I got to laugh, you know.
Well, you can laugh if you want to, Henry. I'm living it. So you laugh all you want, but I'm living in the middle of this. It is a mind control. Here he comes. Hold on. So, yeah. Anyway, Phil, it's been great, and I love working here. Hey, how you doing? And I like working here, Phil, probably more than any reason, because... We've got a great management team in Mr. L. Martin and you know, and all of the people that have worked here, I think, have been, yeah. You're having some espresso, no problem. Sorry about that. But the people here are great.
Yeah, that's...
Yeah. So,
So you plan on staying there a long time?
Oh, I'll be here a long time. Okay, he's gone. I'm telling you, we've got a mind control thing happening. Why am I in my car, but we're hearing an espresso machine?
I don't know. Are you stuck in a time warp?
It could be. In any event, Phil, I wanted to comment on the Elizabeth Hasselbeck story. And the fact that Elizabeth Hasselbeck is staying on The View, or she could be leaving The View, is of such little interest to me that I am devoting an entire half-hour segment to it tomorrow night on the 6 o'clock report. And it's going to be called Elizabeth Hasselbeck, Does It Matter Anymore? And this will be a report at 6.
Now, what will this entail?
Well, I think it'll entail exactly what it intimates, that I really don't care. And I don't think anyone cares whether she lives or dies. And I'm going to say that. And
you're going to say that no one cares whether Elizabeth Hasselbeck lives or dies?
Yes, I am.
Do you not fear for... Don't you think that's a rather extreme thing to say?
No, I do not think it's... I think everyone knows that I don't mean that literally.
Wait a minute. How do you know... While people may assume that you don't mean that literally, isn't that a very powerful thing to say? No one cares whether Elizabeth Hasselbeck lives or dies?
I think it's powerful in the to this extent. That she is so irrelevant now. She never was a very bright individual. She was a little chatterbox. Joy Behar, for her part, isn't the brightest bulb on the tree either. I think what's happening now, Phil, is The View is losing two of the dumbest people that they had, well, they should be losing to. I know that Hasselbeck is staying. And it'll be my point on the 6 o'clock report, Elizabeth Hasselbeck, does it really matter anymore? My point will be to complete the effect, they should lose her too. And in so losing Elizabeth Hasselbeck, they'll be losing two of the dumbest human beings that it has ever been our bad fortune to sit down, turn the television set on, and see by mistake.
And well, I think that there's going to be a lot of people who disagree with that. People enjoyed Joy Behar for her humor. Yes, very, very liberal. And people liked Elizabeth Hasselbeck because she had a way of kind of chopping down the supposed superior minds occasionally on that show.
Like who, for instance?
Well, I don't know, but I mean, Hasselbeck always had this way of when she was having a good day of you know, making people who look puffed up and egotistical and kind of exposing them for that. And so I say on her best days, you know.
Well, on her best day, on her, Elizabeth Hasselbeck's best day hasn't arrived yet, Phil. The best day that Elizabeth Hasselbeck is going to have is the day that she walks in and says, thank you very, very much for this opportunity. I stayed far too long. I quit. And now I freed up a very valuable broadcast position for someone who is worthy of it. Thank you. And then, hopefully, and I say this with the greatest of respect, hopefully, well, I shouldn't say it.
Well, Dodd, I think you should.
She opens a window and jumps out. Are you laughing?
No. Well.
Yes, you are. And you know why you're laughing, Phil? Because you agree.
No, I do not. I think that's about the cold-heartedest thing.
The cold-heartedest?
You mean the cold-heartedest? That's not even a word.
Let's forget about whether it's a word. Did you really say that?
No. No, I made it. You're imagining it. Yes, I said it. The best thing that Elizabeth Hasselbeck could do, the best day she'll ever have, is to walk into the executives there at The View, and when I say executives, you know I'm talking about Barbara Walters and her ego, those two. Walk up to them and say, Ms. Walters, I want to thank you for the opportunity. This is beyond anything I could have hoped for. The fact that I held down a valuable broadcast position that otherwise could have been taken up by an individual with some literacy, an individual with some acumen, an individual with some scholastic aptitude. And I would now like to finally say the words that thousands, millions of Americans want to hear. I quit. And then she opens a window.
Don't say it. Come on, Don. Don't say it.
No, I'm going to say it. A lot of Americans are waiting for me to say it. She opens a window and steps. I'm sorry. It's very emotional for me.
Oh, yeah. It's emotional for you.
Yes, it is.
We got a break, okay?
And she steps out.
Yeah, that's how emotional it is for you. All right, let's take a break. We'll be back. It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. This time of night, the allergy thing kicks in.
Well, maybe you ought to blow your nose.
Why should I blow my nose?
Probably some kind of snot going down the back.
No, it's not, man. It's an allergy. All right, we'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show. Open
truth
a window and
is
step
our
out.
Bitch.
You heard me.
The Phil
That's
Hendry
right, yeah.
Show.
Yeah, truth is a bitch.
It's funny.
No, I do not think it's funny, Margaret.
I want everyone to know that during the break, Debbie Daly has called and Debbie wants to go on the air, and Phil thinks it's going to be so funny to have Debbie on with Don Berman.
No, I do not. I was laughing, thinking about...
Yeah, you were laughing, thinking about Debbie Daly on a daily.
No, I was not, okay? Let me get Debbie on. Don Berman is with us from Channel 19 News. Don has just said something very explosive, and that is that he feels that Elizabeth Hasselbeck's best day has not yet arrived. That day is the day she quits and then opens a window on the fifth floor.
You see what I'm saying? Phil, you cannot, you know, ignore the fact you think it's funny.
Look, Phil, this is Don Berman, Phil.
Yes, I know.
well, I'm so sorry. If you know, then I'll just go ahead and hang up.
No, what? No. I know it's Don Berman. I mean...
But I wanted to say to Margaret... Look, Margaret, you know, the truth hurts. And Phil's, on Phil's show, they like to say, truth is our bitch. Don't they say that?
Yes, they say that. I don't approve of it, but yes.
Oh, you don't approve of the truth?
I don't approve of Phil claiming the truth is his province to the point where it's his bitch. Like the truth is some yard boy.
Yeah, it's like the truth is out near, hanging and banging near the weights.
The truth is hanging and banging near the weights.
The truth that we've reduced the truth to some kind of a prison term. And not, nonetheless, what you said, Don, you're claiming is the absolute truth.
I'm telling you the best day that Elizabeth Hasselbeck will have is the day she quits. And then if she rounds that day out by opening a window and stepping out, yes, that's extra added credit, but I'm saying the best day she'll ever have is the day she quits.
But it'll be better if she opens a window and steps out.
Yes, that's right. Truth is our bitch. Read it and weep. Sorry.
All right, let me get on the line now. Debbie Daly. Debbie is the hostess of the host, I should say, of Daly's Daily, which is one of the top morning shows in public radio. She is the only host of any radio show anywhere who is hearing impaired and speech impaired. And we have Debbie Daly on the line with us. Debbie, how are you doing this evening?
Yes, Debbie, how are you, darling?
Don?
What about what? She's talking to me?
Yes!
Well, I don't know what she... I'm sorry, Debbie. I'm going to assume that what you... Do you not like what I said? Well, somebody better...
She said that even though Elizabeth Hasselbeck is a conservative and she doesn't like her conservative policies, she is a fellow woman and she thinks that she should support her.
All right, well, that's fair enough, Debbie. What'd she say?
She said you pretending like you can't understand what she's saying is just your way of buying time to think about a quick response.
Oh, you gotta be putting me... Debbie, honest to God, I don't understand...
She said, are you making fun of her?
No, I'm not making... I don't even understand what you're saying. I don't understand. You know what, Henry? Goodbye. You know what? You and that... You and Mumbles there, I leave you to each other.
I don't think Don's a hateful man. I think tonight he's having a bad night. All right, well, she's hung up. Basically, what she said there was...
I heard what she said, and I concur.
All right, well, let me tell my audience. She said the best day that Don Berman is going to have is the day that he quits and he steps out of a fourth-floor window. I can only say that, you know, I think Don's harsh in saying that the best day that Elizabeth Hasselbeck will have is the day she quits and then opens a window and steps out.
See, this is what I resent. You find it funny and you're ha 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 and you're trying to pretend like it's all serious.
Well, you gotta admit it is kind of funny.
No, I don't admit that at all. No, I do not admit that at all. I don't find it funny. I think it is sad and... Again, I agree with Debbie. I am not a conservative journalist myself, but as a sister, I do support her in the sisterhood of...
The traveling sisterhood.
No, not the traveling sister. I support her sisterhood. I support her as a sister.
All right, you support her as a nun.
No, not as a nun. You did that on purpose.
All right. We're going to come right back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show and try to move off of Elizabeth Hasselbeck, if you'll pardon me, the way of me putting it that way. We have a couple of other stories we want to get to here, and we will get to them. One of them is some weirdo died. Who is that, Bud?
Never mind. I'll do that story. He's a dear, dear man. He was a star of Tootsie, and his name was Willie Sweetie. I don't know.
Well, we'll read that and more. When we come back here, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Excuse me, but I wanted to say something.
But we're done with the segment.
Yeah, you're done with the segment, all right.
Phil Hendry.
I'm not going to be afraid. What's wrong with... even the people in Scientology probably are not going to have a problem with me saying that I read a book. Here's the thing. I'm reading this book, and welcome back, world-famous Phil Hendry Show here in this now Tuesday morning as we begin another week. Our first week of daylight savings time in this 2013 summer that approaches, which is always just... I get a big kick out of daylight savings because I know the summer is upon us. It's going to be a beautiful... This is going to be a great summer. And... I have all kinds of good feelings about the coming months and the coming sunshine season. Now, I'm reading this book. It's called Inside Scientology. Now, you know, I'm a curious guy, and I know I've always said, and I still say, what's the difference between me and the average person that's all bugged about Scientology? They joined, I didn't. Does that make me smarter than them? I don't know. I'm not willing to say. I don't want to judge. All I can tell you is I didn't join Scientology and give them all kinds of money and then get pissed off and go crazy and whatever the hell. Some other people have.
Yes, and some people have joined and they found great solace and great joy and great growth in Scientology.
Yeah, okay.
Well, aren't you going to be objective about it?
Yeah, I'm being objective. Okay, sure, fine, you know. Here's what I'm learning from this book.
And by the way, Phil, it's a very critical book.
Well, I got to tell you something. It's an objective appraisal of Scientology. Yes, there's a lot of stuff going on that leads one to believe. First of all, the first thing you think of when you read this book is, why is this a religion? I don't mind that it's a philosophy. I don't mind that, you know, how did this ever get to be judged a religion? I mean, it is... and Reitman goes into this. It was a full court press public relations effort. It was weekly visits to Washington and to the IRS. Sometimes they were unannounced visits to the IRS, trying to get their status changed to that of a tax-exempt religious organization. And they finally succeeded in 1993. And you have to understand something, folks. This is the same Church of Scientology that in the late 1970s was indicted for sneaking into the offices of the IRS, stealing documents, and so forth. Now, I know it probably sounds like, you know, to somebody who's a Scientologist, hey, Phil Hendry, he's bagging on us. You know, I'm just telling you, this is what I read in the book, okay?
Do you believe it?
Yes, of course I do. It's documented. Operation Snow White was the name of this operation that Scientology conducted. They broke into the offices of the United States, government. Now, you cannot whitewash that. Now, one of the things about Scientology, and this is what scares a lot of people, and is the fact that they ferociously and aggressively protect their image, and they protect their reputation, and they protect... So anybody that criticizes them with any great, you know, with any great ferocity of their own, become a target of Scientology. Scientology will find out everything they need to know about these people. They will go through their garbage. They will find out anything and everything, any crime, anything that they can use against that individual, and have done it. Prominent critics of Scientology, a guy by the name of Bob Minton, who was a very, very prominent critic, why, they ruined this guy, man. They found out all kinds of stuff. This cat had been involved, I think, in financing certain... entities in Africa, and by that I mean legal. You know, he was helping, I think, one of the countries in Africa restructure its debt. Nonetheless, they found out some things about Mr. Minton that caused him to sue for peace, if you will.
Well, what do you mean by that?
What I mean is that he eventually went to Scientology and said, you know what, I'll play ball with you guys. What do you need to know? I mean, he really turned on a few people. I mean, Scientology has that kind of juice. They got a lot of money. They got a lot of money, which means they can hire all kinds of lawyers, which means they can tie your ass up forever with all kinds of motions, all kinds of filings, I mean, it's insane. And they did this to the state of Florida. They did this to the state of Florida in the case of a young woman who had, or threatened to do it, I should say, in the case of a young woman who had died while she was in a Scientology hotel there in Clearwater, this Lisa McPherson story. And you can look more into that if you want to. Now, I'm not sitting here saying anything other than the facts. Now, this is a matter of record. It's also a matter of record that there are people that defend Scientology that think it's a great thing, that they, you know, it's the greatest thing that's ever happened to them. The point that she makes in this book, okay, is essentially the following thing, that at the very highest levels of Scientology is a really very suspect operation that uses intimidation, has an enormous amount of money, uses a lot of power and a lot of pressure tactics, against so-called enemies of their church, as well as people inside their own church. Now, the rank-and-file Scientologists, just some guy who's walking down the street as a Scientologist, you know, like...
Someone who just read Dianetics.
Well, it's not even about Dianetics. It's because Dianetics was the original book, and Scientology is like a... Scientology is like the next generation of Dianetics. It's like the spiritual expression of it, the step toward religion. The average cat, the average Scientologist, is just, you know, he doesn't get it. He doesn't hear about any of this stuff. To him, it's all, you know, just people attacking the church. But at the very highest levels have been these things that have happened, you know, and especially she talks about this guy that runs Scientology now, this David Miscavige, I think is his name.
Well, now watch it, Phil. That guy's got a lot of power and he can
make you disappear.
Oh, get out of here. Make me disappear. I'm just talking about a book I read. And he took over from L. Ron Hubbard, who, you know, died in 1986. Now, here's the interesting thing. In the early 1960s, L. Ron Hubbard was being interviewed by, I think, somebody from Time magazine, and they came to England, which is where the headquarters of the Church of Scientology was, where Scientology was. And he was excited about this reporter. He was going to put the best foot forward. He was going to show this guy how great Scientology is. He was giving these lectures, and he was giving interviews, and he really wanted to wine and dine this guy. Well, when the article finally came out, I don't know if it was Time magazine, it was a total, from the standpoint of L. Ron Hubbard, it was a disaster, because it ripped into Scientology, it mocked it, it made fun of it. And people think, at least according to this Reitman, that's where the whole paranoia started from Scientology. That's when L. Ron Hubbard changed and he said, from now on, we're going to protect, you know, aggressively the church. And his philosophy of defense is to attack. He says, if you're defending, you're not doing it right. You should be attacking.
What does that mean, attacking?
It means that if somebody attacks you, don't defend, attack back. And that's their philosophy. But it's a heavy book because there's generations of Scientology that I'm reading about. When it started in 1950, and then all of those people, and a lot of those people went away, and then a bunch of people came in the 60s, and all of those people, and then they went away, and then a bunch of people that came in the 70s, Miscavige, I think, is one of those people, and some of them stayed and some of them went away. There's these succeeding generations of Scientology people and there's so many of them. I mean, so many of them that left and started speaking out publicly against Scientology.
Like Tom Cruise?
No, not Tom Cruise, man. That cat's in solid.
Yeah, Tom Cruise, man, he believes in it.
Well, who's been speaking out publicly?
Well, like his daughter. His daughter, Miscavige's daughter, has spoken out against it. But also people that you probably haven't heard of, but nonetheless, probably you should have, because they're really, they were really high up in Scientology. I mean, there's one guy, in fact, I quoted the guy on Facebook, Jesse Prince. This guy, Jesse Prince, was a real heavy hitter in Scientology, one of the top guys. this cat split and basically said the following thing, that law enforcement needs to investigate Scientology. That's what he said. And he's not the first guy to intimate these things. But, you know, you got to read the book and you got to take your own measure of this. But it's a it definitely is a book that's a fascinating read. And it, you know, is drawing from the facts. It's drawing it from, you know, a public record. It's called Inside Scientology.
Yeah, but that's against religion and stuff. A lot of people I know, they think it is.
Yes, it's attacking a religion, Phil, and that is never a good thing.
I'm telling you right now, you can say it's attacking a religion. I don't know how Scientology... Look it, I may be the biggest supporter of Scientology. I may think it's a fantastic thing. I still don't know how the hell it is they got to be called a religion. That's one of the greatest sell jobs that's ever been done on the U.S. government. I mean, I got to tell you, I mean, I hate to say it, but our government got intimidated into giving Scientology religious status, in my opinion. I mean, I don't know. But that's what this book says, and you read it and you make up your own mind. Nonetheless, you know, and here's why I say what I'm saying, you know, because I did say, and I still say, you got to sort of look at yourself. I mean, I didn't join Scientology, so I don't have any axe to grind. But I will tell you this much. Any organization that may be engaged in anything that is illegal, naturally, our government must investigate. Any organization that may be engaged in anything that is, you know, that's circumventing the process in any way needs to be investigated. And I don't think Scientology should be investigated for anything other than the following thing. I think they ought to be investigated again to see whether they qualify as a religion.
Well, you can't go back and take that back. It's not going to happen, Phil, now that it's a religion. If they do that, then Scientology will say, well, what about the Catholics and what about this and that?
Well, they may. They may.
Yeah, that's what it'll do. Then you'll mess it up for everybody.
What do you mean, I'll mess it up?
Well, you're the one suggesting it.
Well, all right. But the fact is, you're probably right. If they go and they try to reassess their religious standing, their standing as a religion, it probably would redound to, you know, they would probably say, well, why don't you look at these guys? Look at these guys. So anyway, it's pretty interesting. It's called Inside Scientology. Read it. And then the other book, what's the other one I'm reading?
You're reading a bunch of murder books. I don't...
Oh, yeah, I've got a bunch of really cool murder books to read. All right, we'll be right back. Final segment, world famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com. Get a backstage pass. Be a member of our BSP family. Before all the BSPs run out. I'm kidding. There's no running out. It's, you know, as many as you need. We've got them. Phil Henry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
Anonymous.
Yeah, well, Anonymous, remember, welcome back to world-famous Phil Henry Show. We were just discussing briefly Scientology and the book that I'm reading right now, which is Inside Scientology. Anonymous probably mounted one of the more effective anti-Scientology campaigns, not that there hadn't been any beforehand, and they were anonymous because they were obviously concerned with, you know, being found out. And so those cats were wearing masks for a good reason. But I don't think in the long run that anonymous thing really did much, you know. I don't think it did. I think I think it brought some bad publicity onto Scientology for a while. I think that they also tried to hack into Scientology's computers. I think they, you know, might have done some mischief that way, but at the end of the day, man, here we are, 2013. You know, Scientology's just motoring along, man. They probably have just as much bread as they've ever had, and they've got just as many celebrities as they've ever had, and there you go.
What about the South Park guys? Weren't they followed and harassed?
I don't know. I don't know if they were, man. I don't think so. What do you mean the South Park guys? You mean Trey and Matt?
Yes.
Didn't they do a whole, this show was produced by John Smith? Everybody was John Smith? My glasses just fell apart. That's fantastic.
Ha, ha, ha. Ha, ha, ha.
What are you laughing at?
Glasses fell apart.
Yeah, I know they did. Laughing at me. All right. Willie Stilks. Look at this. I'm going to have to use this as a monocle now. This is great. I'm wearing a monocle, folks. Willie Switkies, that's it.
Well, where did you get stilts out of that?
Because I can't read without my monocle. Willie Switkies, character actor who appeared in Tootsie and Taxi Driver, dies in Maryland at 83. Taxi Driver, a character actor who had minor roles in Tootsie, Taxi Driver, and dozens of other films, has died. Willie Switkies was 83. His niece, Ellen Switkies, said he died of colon cancer. Willie Switkies was a native of Washington, D.C., a longtime New York City resident. He appeared in Broadway productions of The Cherry Orchard and A Thousand Clowns and was an understudy to Buster Keaton during a 1960 tour of Once Upon a Mattress. His other films included The French Connection and Bananas. The French Connection? Why the hell haven't I ever seen this guy? His characters often were unidentified, such as his man at the cab credit for Tootsie, in which he's thrown from a taxi after trying to cut in front of the title character Dustin Hoffman. You remember that?
No, I don't. I don't remember that at all.
Anyway, he died. He's 83. God bless you, sir. Many more happy returns. I don't know.
Well, I thought that'd be interesting to see about Willie Switkey.
Yeah, that was great, bud. Thanks.
It's a big story.
It ain't that big of a story. It ended, like, as soon as it began. You know, bud, that it ain't a big story when they give you, like, three paragraphs and that's it. Here's one here. Man arrested after alleged Visine poisoning. Now, if you're watching me read this on Phil TV and I have one eye shut, it's only because I'm using my monocle. It isn't because somebody hit me up with dosed Visine. A woman in California is recovering after police say she was poisoned when her boyfriend put Visine eye drops in her drink. Oh,
I thought he might have tainted the Visine and then she put it in her eye.
That would have been grotesque. I didn't know that Visine is that much of a poison, but I guess it is. What am I doing? Oh, here we go. Shane Carpenter, a 27-year-old mechanic, was arrested in the Nevada County Sheriff's Office on Thursday in Grass Valley, California.
That's in Nevada?
No, it was in Nevada Valley. It was in Nevada County in Grass Valley, California.
So, what state is that?
I think it says Grass Valley, California.
Well, it says Nevada County.
I don't care. It's maybe the name of the county is Nevada.
They shouldn't allow that.
Well, they did, bud. Anyway, I'm sitting here with one eye closed, looking through a busted pair of glasses. You guys are hassling me about whether it's in California or Nevada. It says here, Grass Valley, California.
Well, how do you know that's not in Nevada?
Because it says California. In any event, Grass Valley, California, and booked on poisoning and domestic violence charges. That is if they ever figure out which state the guy ought to be booked in. Police say after a fight with his girlfriend, Carpenter put eye drops in her drink, causing her to feel ill. Lieutenant Steve Tripp of the Nevada County Sheriff Department, which is in California.
Well, thank you for clarifying that. That's all I wanted, Phil.
I did. I said Grass Valley, California.
Then what's Nevada County?
That's where the city of is.
City.
Where the town, where the hamlet, where the village. In any event, Lieutenant Steve Tripp of the Nevada County Sheriff Department in California told ABC News that Carpenter's girlfriend became suspicious after finding text on Carpenter's phones to his friends about the alleged prank gone wrong. He was making texts to his buddies that if she's going to be talking crap, then she's going to be crapping. The police say Carpenter's girlfriend hadn't been feeling well, and after seeing the text, contacted police. As part of the investigation, the police had Carpenter's girlfriend talk to him about the alleged poisoning over the phone, and they taped it, and you dumbass, now you're in prison.
What a jackass.
You got it. Let's see what else it says here. Police said, a whole bunch of other stuff. Well, there you have it, folks. This guy poisons his girlfriend with Visine. Don't go trying it, man, because now they know all about that stuff. The idea of poisoning somebody. Poisoning is the stupidest thing you can possibly do because it's the easiest thing in the world to trace. Poisoning used to be the weapon of choice in the 19th century for surreptitiously, that means secretively, trying to poison somebody, bud. And
they try to poison them.
Yeah, they would use poison. And in the 19th century, that was very big. You know, there were a lot of books written about it, arsenic and old lace. I don't know if that was in the 19th century, but they used arsenic, they used strychnine, they used a lot of different things. And in the mid part of the 19th century, forensic science had evolved to the point where they could begin to now trace they could find the poison in the body. And this had a lot to do with the evolution of the medical examiner's office, because medical examiners back then, I mean, you could say, are you the medical examiner? Well, they didn't really have them. They had coroners, and the coroner could be a local, like, barber. Sometimes they ran for the office of coroner, and you were elected. I am now the coroner, like Phil Hendry. What do I know about, you know?
Well, if you're elected, then what do you do?
Then I take a look at the guy, and I go, well, how did I ask people, how did he die? Well, he fell over. Okay, he got poison. Undetermined cause. You know, and they never knew. Then finally, the city of New York was one of the first, if not the first, to hire a medical examiner, an actual doctor, and actually do real autopsies and actually figure out what the hell caused guys to croak. And that's was the beginning of the end of a lot of these poison types. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show is produced by Dan Northcraft and me, Phil Hendry. And, of course, we're online at philhendryshow.com, philhendryshow.com for all of your Phil Hendry Show needs. Till tonight at 10 o'clock, that's 10 o'clock on the West Coast, and 4 a.m. or 1 a.m., I should say, on the East Coast. This is Phil Hendry saying thank you, have a very pleasant good evening, and let that be a lesson to you.
Phil Hendry.